This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
The Lucy Porter Show on FUBAR Radio.
Oh, hello. Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's the beginning of the new term here at FUBAR High. I've got my imaginary pencil case ready to go, and Senior Prefect Amanda Redman is here.
Yes, hello, I am.
Hello,
how's
good.
How's it going? Good summer?
Had a lovely summer. I was holidaying on my private island in the Seychelles.
Oh, lovely.
I believe you had your yacht.
Yes.
Just outside on
yeah,
tea.
It's getting boring now. It's been about the fifth year running.
I know, darling. We've got to mix it up somehow, haven't we? But anyway, yes, it was all right. I went glamping.
Oh.
I might talk about that later.
Well, please do.
Glamping, anything where you poo into a hole, I don't think you can really justify being glam anything. But anyway, it was all fine. But I'm delighted. You know, we have had literally three emails saying, when are you coming back? Where have you been? And here we bloody well are.
It's been an avalanche.
So, we are here for the next 2 hours. The lovely Tanya Edwards has just arrived. She'll be our studio guest. I'll introduce her after the first record. But I think we're going to go straight into our album of the week. Now, which I gave you two.
Yeah.
Choices, Amanda. Which one did you pick?
I chose Beth Orton.
Did you? Mm. You're melancholy, you see.
Yeah.
I had one summer's upbeat over. Choice and one slightly depressing choice, and you've gone for, yeah, let's bring us all down for September. what about Wish I Never Saw the Sunshine?
Oh, that was the track that I've got queued up, actually.
Yeah, you see, very good. End of Summer Days.
Yeah.
I wish I never knew the sunshine. I can't even remember what it's called. Anyway, that one. Let's
it's
play
that one.
It and we'll gather our thoughts.
Here we go.
Oh, well, restful, if not that inspiring. But no, it's nice. I mean, it's Norfolk's finest. I love Norfolk. I really do. Beth Orton, one of the greatest things to come out of Norfolk.
I know some people that have been on holiday to Norfolk. That's my idea of hell.
Going
somewhere cold in England.
Oh, it's lovely. It's lovely and
fun.
Flat. See, having been now, Tanya Edwards, our studio guest. Hello.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Having returned triumphant from the Edinburgh Festival, from the hilly lands of the north. How was it?
At Long. I really developed my flyering skills.
Yeah, good.
No, it was good. I had a good run this year, actually. I think everyone did. It was really busy.
Yeah, because I wasn't there. So that was why I wasn't keeping the crowds away. But yeah, no, it was very nice. It was a nice vibe. And you did something else this summer.
Yes, I got married.
Seems so long ago now.
I got married the week before heading off to the festival.
Congrats.
The key to a happy marriage is obviously to leave the country immediately. So that worked out nicely.
Yes. Well, it's nice as well for, you know, the Edinburgh Festival, which can take its emotional toll on performers. It's nice to have something more traumatic and stressful just immediately
just before
to remind you that actually Edinburgh is not that important.
In fact, I haven't even been married 8 weeks yet. Is that...
Is 25th it already of July? Feeling a little bit? Is it going stale already?
No, I can't really tell the difference. Just a bit of bling. And,
Yeah. Well, the weight gain doesn't generally kick in for about the first... that's not true. The first month I put on 3 stone. But, it's a...
3 stone? Did you get pregnant immediately?
pregnant with food. I had a little American food baby. We went to Florida. And the first day I arrived, I was like, I'm never going to eat all this. Oh, look at those portions. Oh, isn't it disgusting? This is consumerism gone wild. And then by the end of the honeymoon, I had to buy an entirely new set of clothes to return to my married
life. How long was the honeymoon?
It was 2 weeks. It's amazing what you can achieve, isn't it? So I'll get your... later on, we'll talk about your hints and tips and your things you saw in Edinburgh that maybe coming to the rest of the country that you can recommend.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
We can do all that. We'll talk about our summers. I'll talk about pooing in a hole. What we should do before we do that is set up our list of the week. So we've got a list of the week, which is... it's going to be female action heroes. Because inspired by, I was reading a Berkshire-based Jungian psychoanalyst, Sarah Jackson, has presented the female hero from ancient myth to modern cinema. I was just reading about this, and I just thought it was quite an interesting article about our sort of conception of heroes and what constitutes a hero. And I thought it's quite a good list, sort of female superheroes. I always think Ripley from Alien, Sarah Connor from Terminator.
Mm.
Those are the kind of female...
Not familiar with Terminator.
You're not? No, it's a bit before your time. That's what I realised when I was thinking about this. I thought, actually, do you know what? I am largely working in the 80s. That's what I'm doing. I'm largely...
Supergirl. She was in the 80s.
She was. Helen Thing, yes.
I love Supergirl.
Having a small female child, when, you know, superhero stuff comes up, it is very difficult because there are the contemporary good female superheroes. But, you know, obviously Batman, Spider-Man, all of those. And then you've got Wonder Woman. Not bad. Or from the... Now, what my daughter has seized upon is from the original Spider-Man cartoons, or not the original, but there's a 1970s animated Spider-Man cartoon which we've been watching.
Spider-Man originally a woman, is this what you're going to tell me?
Spider-Man was... This is probably the next reboot they will do in Hollywood, Spider-Lady. But this... she's called Firestar.
Oh yes!
Oh God, she's good.
There was a cartoon series called Spider-Man, Iceman, and Firestar.
That's the one. That's the one. Yes, exactly. So she's another nomination. So I thought we'd just throw that out to the listeners.
Yeah. Or action heroes as well, female action heroes. Because I immediately thought of the Jennifer Hunger Games.
Katniss Everdeen.
Yeah. So yeah. I immediately thought of.
I haven't seen those either, but I did read the first book. Yeah, it's quite good. Apparently, it's ripped off from a Japanese story. Which is the same thing.
Oh.
I don't know. I haven't read that one.
No, I don't know. Well, we're all working
just
in the dark.
Just slurring.
Here,
just
your
slurring
husband is Japanese, though, isn't he? So did he?
No. He's Indian Irish.
Oh, is he?
You know, it's pretty much the same, isn't it? Tallest.
The great Indian Irish superheroes, of course. We'll work out what they were later. So if anyone would like to tweet us at FUBAR with their female superhero nominations, that would be great. In fact, I tell you what, this did also led me on to thinking about the big story of the week. And I didn't know, or should I say the big story of the week, which I didn't know if we should talk about this because it's been everywhere, but the David Cameron revelations.
It's not really a revelation, though, is it? It's more of a... Not that it would surprise anyone what he dipped his penis in, but I just think it's all rubbish.
You don't believe that it
no,
actually
No,
it
happened. Wasn't in the inner circle, Ashcroft. He doesn't know. That's half his... Oh. That's half his...
But he was told by somebody else that was...
What absolute rubbish. Someone told me... Someone told me that when he was in a club that he wasn't actually in, that apparently he did something with his penis. It's just... I've never heard anything like it.
I know, well, it isn't the
I can't believe it got traction, just because it's so funny. The jokes are superb.
Well, and there is suggestion that there's a photograph somewhere, which is surely the artefact that we all need to... You know, pictures of it didn't happen.
But it's just a suggestion, isn't it? It's just a hint. That's all you need.
I know, and it is terrible. And then look at me running with it. Like, you know, because I was thinking about it in a number of ways. Firstly, that... you know, traditionally people say, oh, it's women who are sort of bitchy and gossipy and vengeful. And, you know, Lord Ashcroft has proved us all wrong there, hasn't he?
He's... Hell hath no fury like a Tory scorned.
Ooh, that, yeah, if you spent £8 million, you really do want to see something for it, don't you? And, yeah, I love his bitterness and the extraordinary. But also the thing about secret societies. I have been for a different project researching female secret societies. And there are lots of very interesting stories.
Do they exist?
Well, not many, actually.
Because we chat too much, that's why.
Exactly, it's a secret for about 5 minutes, yeah. And then God, we're kind of like, but do you want to be in? Because I don't want to make Amanda feel left out. So let's just... I mean, I think this show is something of a secret society, really. I mean, yeah, you know, we do try and keep it on the down low. I was in a secret society when I was a young girl at school. We had a little secret club called the Wobegon Spangles.
Blowing it now, aren't you?
I know. Sorry, Tracy and Vicky and all the other members. So I'm now going to lay bare our secrets. But I just thought it's an interesting thing that in these sort of initiation ceremonies, and I've been looking at the American college fraternities and what they do. And, you know, with the guys, it is always sort of sexual, you know, exhibitionist or whatever. But with women, I have never... No other woman has ever urged me to insert anything into my vagina. I can say that with absolute 100% confidence.
I've met some women who would have loved to have inserted some stuff into my vagina. Yes. I politely decline.
No, but that's active and sexual rather than just for a laugh. You know what I mean?
I think David Cameron is shamefully straight. I think one of the big exposés in the book was that apparently he'd once been at a party and someone at that party might perhaps, quote unquote, have taken drugs.
And he and Samantha felt terribly awkward.
I think you should be embarrassed. You should immediately get out there, get under the bridge in Vauxhall, pop some pills.
Is that where they dance do it these days?
Yeah, they do. You should see them on a Sunday morning when I'm there getting
my
newspaper.
Actually, no, I have seen the Royal Vauxhall Tavern, which has now been given listed status. As have some of the men who are outside who have been there since the '70s. Shirts.
There are clubs in the bridge under the bridge.
Yeah, no, I did before the tavern. Yeah. No, I know it's an extraordinary part of London. For those of you out of town, do treat yourselves, pop in, and have a little look. Sunday was not even Sunday morning. Sunday lunchtime is generally the best time to see the kind of all weekend.
All sorts going on in Vauxhall. I was invited once to MC. I thought it was a gig. It wasn't a gig. It was actually a dominatrix party, and they thought it would be something novel to have a comedian introducing the acts, who were a stripping wizard and
How did he take his clothes off?
Well, he had a terrible time, actually, because he walked onto the stage with a golf bag and he dropped the golf bag and the music went off. And he got so cross that he walked off the stage in half and insisted that I reintroduced him.
Start again.
I went back on and I said, that was a debacle. Someone needs to pay for it. And I got obviously it was a dominatrix place. So two volunteers immediately leapt to the stage and then two very striking dominatrix ladies came and beat them. at my behest. That was the only bit of the gig that went well for me. They weren't really into jokes. They were all on leads.
Be so good at so many gigs if you could just say, listen, somebody needs a beating right now. Was it? Do they have? I mean, dominators, I suppose. Male dominators. You just don't think so much of the.
No, they're all in watching the football and then beating their wives afterwards. It's a slightly different thing, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. It's just, quite sanctioned by society, being a dominator, being a dominatrix.
Isn't Christian Grey a dominator?
Yeah, it probably is.
Yeah,
that'd be what you'd call him.
Yeah.
Good. All right, solved that.
Right, we'll go.
I once did a, I did a Streams of Pleasure night once at a gay club.
Oh,
King's
did
Cross,
you?
Also in London. And that was a very interesting night. That was sort of, in fact, it puts my glamping experience into
perspective. Was anybody bothering to watch you? Because a friend of mine...
Well, I was upstairs. I'll be honest with you.
Okay.
The Streams of Pleasure adventure in a paddling pool.
I've heard a lot about Streams of Pleasure.
What is a stream of pleasure?
As
you'd imagine, yeah. There's tarpaulin put everywhere. It's at a place called Central Station, isn't it?
And everyone slides down a slide or...
Good, innocent fun. There's... Is it micturation? I'm trying to think of a polite word for pissing. Anyway, whatever that is, it's that.
Yeah, whatever that is.
It's peeing. It's a peeing club.
Good God.
Yeah, so good. So anyway, and as far as we know, David Cameron has been there, loved it. but I remember he was there, when he's probably libelous. Yes, good. I didn't really intend to talk about Piggate, but here we are, and we've done it. So let's recap what happened over the summer while we were away. In fact, I'm just going to move straight to your blog, Tanya.
My blog?
Your blog.
It's very, very rarely blogged on, really.
Well, you've obviously had a spurt.
I've written two in a month. Wow.
In that sort of post-Edinburgh frenzy of activity that we all get. But, yeah, it was talking about the Femin organisation and their latest demonstration, event, tits out protest.
Yeah, I never really thought much of those women because they're just... I never really got it.
No. Women, for anyone who doesn't know,
I think
women who bear their breasts.
They're topless protesters.
Yeah.
But I'm not a naked person. I keep my clothes on all the time. Mm. I had an old housemate and she apparently used to go sleepwalking at university naked. I'm confident that if I ever went sleepwalking, I would be dressed. Even if I'd gone to bed naked, I would still end up sleepwalking fully clothed.
I'm fully with you on that. I mean, it is very difficult to find me naked at all now. At any point, I've kind of...
You even have a shower in a swimsuit.
Yeah. Well, I do. Actually, at the gym, I've become much more prudish. I think maybe it is an ageing thing. But also, and I can do all the stuff of getting my bra off through my clothes. And, I'm like a sort of 1950s seaside postcard.
Well, I do yoga and you have to have a shower in the communal showers. And they're small showers. You're pretty much... So that, I've gotten used to that, but generally...
I mean, I'm not prudish about it. And I think, as you said, you hadn't really thought about them much. Neither did I really thought whether I think it's a valid form of protest. But the, I mean, yeah, their sort of latest, it was at a conference in France where, amongst other things, wife beating, the pros and cons were being discussed.
Yeah, I mean, it was really, there was a huge movement in France to try and stop this conference in the first place. I believe in free speech. I think that everything can be discussed. Obviously, it's a tragedy that in 2015 it seems still a subject. Mm. Is it appropriate to beat your wife? But these particular women burst into their conference, and it was very bold because they're obviously of Muslim background, and it was a Muslim conference, and they were really beaten up for it. But it, I thought that they were quite magnificent.
Yeah, I mean, it is.
Did you see the video?
Do you know, I didn't actually. No.
You should go onto my blog. You can click on the link and
TanyaEdwards.com.
TanyaEdwardsComedy.com.
TanyaEdwardsComedy.
There's several of us. There's loads of Tanya Edwards. It's a totally non-exclusive name.
Well, it's not a club where you could have any kind of secret litigation rights
no.
or anything like that. But no, I mean, also there have been a few events recently in North America where women have been trying to assert their right to be topless, and that I think is quite an interesting cultural development about actually word making toplessness or female upper nudity less shocking.
I don't think it is shocking, but then I used to always go on holiday in France and everyone was topless. It was just how it was.
Yeah.
Topless sunbathing, everyone does that. I take it all back. I love getting naked. I love skinny dipping.
She's naked now. I don't know what she's talking about. But yeah.
Well, I lost a lot of weight in Edinburgh, so why not? but I think it's topless where? Topless on a beach, topless at a protest. I don't think I topless protest, but then I wouldn't go naked bicycling either. Have you seen a naked cycle rider?
Yeah, they love that, don't they?
It looks so uncomfortable.
It really is like the worst activity I can think of doing whilst having no clothes on my nether regions.
One maverick was...
quite possibly, if we really put our minds to it. But
frying bacon,
not...
you know, all of it.
I saw one maverick on rollerblades whizzing through town as part of the naked... cycle.
A man naked
on rollerblades, and he was obviously was enjoying what he was seeing,
right.
Because he was definitely
he was
loud and proud. Wow. on his rollerblades.
I mean, I've come off a bike. I've never come off rollerblades, but I've come off a bike and taken all the skin off my thigh. And that's why I will always wear clothing
leather.
On a bicycle. Yeah.
Have you ever been on a motorbike?
No. Have you?
Yeah, I have a few times. But
naked?
No, fully dressed, with helmet and everything. Mm-hmm. Nervous, going very slowly.
yeah, no, I've been on the back of a moped and that'll do me.
I've been on the back of a moped behind two other people in Thailand. Three of us tried to get on a moped. It was so absolutely terrifying, I insisted on getting off and promptly hitched a lift and got on someone else's. Bike. Now I look back and think, what on earth are you doing? Why are you hitching a lift on an island in a...
on an unsafe form of transport?
Yeah,
no. Well, things we did when we were young. Pig head things. for some of us, and not for others. Now, shall we do our first song chosen by Tanya?
Yes. Tanya, would you like to introduce your song?
Oh, yes. I think I chose Patti Smith, Because the Night.
Yeah, very good.
Indeed you did.
Lucy Porter Show on FUBAR Radio.
Oh, that was more like it. No, you know, no disrespect to Beth Orton, but definitely Patti Smith. It's got the blood pumping now. I feel like I'm fine. It's like coming back to school after the break, isn't it? You sort of feel like, yeah, I need to get myself back into the groove.
Yeah.
Back into the groove. Now, as we went to Patti Smith, we were talking about Femin and their topless protesting. And just saying it, actually, what an incredibly brave thing it is. We've never been sure, but then actually they got beaten soundly for turning up.
Well, their whole purpose, isn't it, is to gatecrash things and declare themselves masters of their own destiny. And the reason as well it caught my attention was because it was the same week that Charlotte Proudman had published The Exchange, which she had been sent a message on LinkedIn,
yeah.
Saying she looked stunning in her LinkedIn profile picture. And I thought it was OTT to publish the messages.
Yeah, you see, and I very much thought, actually, fair enough.
But did you not think that she handled herself away the way she robustly responded to that and told him to piss off? Why did she have to publish it? Is there no option now to not be publicly shamed immediately?
Well, I think I sort of feel a degree of sympathy for him in that it escalated very quickly from his.
But why can't she just say, go away? And then if he had responded, then fair enough, then publish. But she didn't even give him a chance. So what's the point?
I think her point, though, was that it is something that keeps on happening to her and to women on LinkedIn. And that I think she just reached breaking point. And I don't think she was making a point. I don't think that she had. I don't really think she fully understood what the ramifications were going to be, particularly because. I'm sure if she had, she wouldn't have done it because then the wrath of.
But why can't you just remove someone's name if you want to talk about it publicly?
Yeah, I mean, I think
that. I just think it's just fair because if someone makes a mistake, they make a mistake. And sorry, but lots of people do want to get laid via every single means of
public communication. But I don't think actually the repercussions for him were as terrible as you might think. You know what I mean? I think that he did a foolish thing.
But it's humiliating.
It wasn't necessarily a disproportionate response. I think that actually...
I don't think you should publicly shame people. And also, I mean, listen, the guy's a creep. Some creepy old dude sends you a creepy old dude's message. That, I mean, that is what it is. But you just tell them to go away. And obviously, if that person doesn't go away, or if they were being working directly, or if she was feeling harassed in the office, it'd be totally different. But I think we're hysterical now about wanting to shame people.
But I think if there is a constant sort of drip feed of annoyance, that it's not unreasonable that somebody.
You can make a complaint, but we're not all victims, are we? Don't see her as a victim. I think it's something you can brush off.
And I think that she, she wanted to make a point about the way that women are treated on social media, and he did send an inappropriate message, and it did. It upset her sufficiently that she thought, right, this is, I'm just sick of this and I'm just going to publish it. And I mean, the thing to me that I suppose I was sympathetic because I think that there is an inclination amongst some men, and obviously not all men, and 99% of men, I think, like 99% of women, know the difference between match.com and not. Match.com, it's like, well, this is my professional life, this is my personal life, and they are very different. But there are certain men who to whom any website is a dating website.
Yeah, but so what? Just get over it. Like, it's totally different if someone's harassing you, or if she'd sent that message to him and he'd said, God, you're a hysterical old bitch, who do you think you are, blah, 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 and had become abusive or in any way.
Yeah, but then the reaction that she was getting was
No, you're not talking about from him. You're talking about from the public.
Yeah, but I mean...
And now we're talking about trolling, which I obviously think is disgusting.
But I think that if everybody had replied to her saying this was disproportionate, this man made a mistake, come on, move on. But they didn't. They basically said, the really vile and disgusting things to her, which kind of proves that there is a problem with women online and that women...
There is a problem, but I don't think she was describing one. And the separately, people being trolled. I mean, Christ almighty, I've seen some of the abuse, the sexually violent abuse that people have been getting online. Even my friends who are doing better and who are better known. I mean, God, I'm not yet in a position to get all of that abuse. Come on, someone, send me something filthy.
Something, I do every day.
Something spiteful and aggressive immediately. But
No, but you do. I think, because I've had it a bit and I know lots of women who have, and it does start to get to you. And you think, well, it is, that kind of.
But if someone sent you a private message saying, God, Lucy, you really look stunning.
And you actually
hated it, and you said, actually, do you know what? Please piss off, you're a horrible old creep. You wouldn't necessarily feel obliged to publish their message to you, would you?
No, I wouldn't at all, and I haven't. But I'm just saying that I feel a certain degree of sympathy towards her for what was a sort of impulsive action to kind of feel like, actually, I'm fed up with this. Because, I think it's fine to make apologies for
his wife must be irritated.
I would be slightly peeved, I'll be honest. I've got the whole list of wives that I wouldn't like to be at the moment. Sam
Who?
Cam.
Oh.
Jeremy Corbyn's wife. I don't know if you saw when Jeremy Corbyn got... When he won the Labour leadership and he was in this pub doing his victory speech and it cut to a picture of his wife and she was sobbing, but not like sort of, oh, I'm so happy my husband's just been elected leader of the Labour Party. It was like properly kind of, oh, shit, my life is about to be destroyed. Anyway, I think a lot of people were standing up for him and saying, God, he's just one bloke, he's a bit of a creepy old dude. And yes, of course I get that. But then she's just one woman who decided she couldn't take it anymore and decided, actually, do you know what? I don't want
I just
to have
don't think you need to publish people's
every
names.
Day of my life.
And I don't think everyone needs to. I actually don't like the idea of public shaming. I don't even like it when people take pictures. Like, I open the Metro sometimes or the Standard and you'll see someone eating their cereal at the wheel. And now, obviously, you shouldn't be eating breakfast. You shouldn't be eating breakfast when you're driving. But this idea that at any point you can be walking along the street, someone's going to take a photograph of you and publish it on social media, I think it's really unpleasant.
Yeah, I mean, point taken. But I mean, and actually, I think we are having a much more robust debate about public shaming, and John Ronson's book about.
I haven't read that, but apparently it's excellent.
Brilliant. And
have you read it?
Yes, and it's. I think there are lots of discussions to be had about mob mentality and about public shaming. But I just. What I'm saying is, you feel slightly sorry for him, I feel slightly
I don't feel sorry for him. I just think it's completely ridiculous to publish private messages unless you've got several and you're actually feeling harassed and you've asked someone to go away. You can block someone, you can remove them from your profile, you can respond as she did respond. She didn't even wait for him to say sorry. She just went full public.
From
it's
now
too
on
much.
That's what she would do after the
But I don't think she should do that because of a horrible, disgusting public backlash. I think that's a separate issue which is revolting also.
Yeah, I mean, but also I do think that there's wrapped up within this and within the reaction to it, I think there is this danger of saying, you know, contrasting the way that women are treated in other parts of the world. And the reason we got into talking about this was because of the Femen protest and about, you know, of course you always think, God, there are so many awful abuses of women, there's so much misogyny in the world, and we're focusing on these tiny little things.
But I think tiny isn't. Things are really, really important. Yeah. I just don't think you should try and use as a lightning rod something that no one's even had an opportunity to say sorry for. I mean, I've done loads of terrible things in my life, and hopefully someone says it to me first before they say it to other people. And forget other people in the public, I mean other people even generally. I always hope that if someone's annoyed with me, they'll let me know first, before they even told my friends, never mind before they suddenly went full expose. I mean, I haven't really done anything worth exposing. Quickly, someone, give me a pig's head.
Well, but that's it, because I think we're, like, now, so I think maybe what is coming as well is a slight terror of social media and a slight terror of exposing yourself in any way. And, I mean, I do feel much more nervous and anxious about any interaction now than I think I used to. And that is a sad...
You know, I remember when, David, they made a... People marched through the streets with an effigy of David Beckham, and I thought that was pretty hardcore. And now it looks practically banal by comparison to that.
He'd been sent off. He kicked somebody, didn't he?
Yeah, he got sent off from a match, and they were burning
the
him through the streets. I thought that was absurd, but I think that's the same sort of. You're trying to provoke the same kind of mass reaction. I think it's kind of gross. But then I'm sort of half in and half out of the internet. Like, I'm on Twitter, I'm on Facebook, but I don't really... People were shocked when they found out I was married because I hadn't even got a boyfriend. You know, I don't really mention it. I mean, I do on stage, but within the persona of it being possibly a joke.
I know, because I think we're very aware as performers and people who are sort of doing this for a living of... the difference between a persona and real life and a personal life and an intimate life. But even, you know, I find it confusing being older because I don't really like, and I, when I was first on Twitter, was very much not aware of that. And now, you know, again, look back and think, oh my God, please don't dig up any of my old tweets. That's an open invitation because I've never deleted anything.
Well, Sundiv's not on anything. He's not on Facebook, Twitter, nothing.
Fact, now, here is a brilliant link into your Woman of the Week. Your great woman.
Oh, I love her.
Basically the value of being an enigma is what you're about to discuss here.
My woman of the week is Elena Ferranti, and I'm sure everyone's heard of her now because, you know, she's really catching on, but she's an amazing writer, a female writer that sometimes people have suggested could in fact be a man because no one can cope with the idea that anyone can be as brilliant as her and be a woman, heaven forbid. But no one actually knows who she is. She's only done one interview with a Paris Review via her publishers where she talks about the importance of anonymity. And I think it's really interesting because what she says is that today people are getting, I guess, well, an obvious example would be someone getting a book deal because they're well known, not because they actually have a book that's worth a deal. And we've become so caught up in celebrity. And she has always said that if her books are good enough, they'll stand alone. And no one knows who she is, where she lives, what she's doing, what she wears, what she looks like. And her books are absolutely amazing, but the idea that you could be so talented and well received and still be content to maintain your anonymity, I don't know if I would be able to do it.
I mean, it drives people wild as well, because she's just, it's about her sixth book that she's just published, isn't it? It's part of a duet, it's
four books in a series.
Oh, is it? Sorry,
the first one is called My Brilliant Friend, and I highly recommend it.
Uh-huh. And I had never heard of her, and then I read about her when you mentioned her name, and just because people are driven mad by it. People are like, we must know who this woman is, we must know, like, as someone said, I just want to know what she wears and what she drinks.
I have an obsessive thing about her, though, because her books are genuinely so amazing. Yeah. I've just finished their fourth one and I'm feeling completely bereft. I've gone out and bought some of her earlier books. They're really genuinely fantastic.
And such an achievement, really, to be able to maintain anonymity in this era, you know. I mean, actually,
and to get a book deal on that premise, because so many things are actually based on you having to do book readings, book fairs, festivals.
Apparently lots of friends I know who are in that sort of world say that if, you know, they look at how many Twitter followers you have, and, you know, it's all of that stuff that,
yeah, it's really coming into play.
He went for an audition to be, like, as an actor in a thing, and it was apparently between them and someone else, and they asked him how many Twitter followers he had, because that was going to be part of their decision-making process.
Actually, do you know what? I need to crack on and get on. Oi, follow me on Twitter. It's at Tan Edwards. That's Tania Edwards. And I really do need a few.
Well, I think yeah, once you've left it too late to be an enigma, which we clearly have.
I definitely have, yeah.
Then, I mean, actually, Amanda, it helps that you share your name with another famous person.
It doesn't. It's the disappointment on people's faces when I turn up and not the Amanda Redmond, star of New Tricks. Star of New Tricks, sexy
very
beast.
Good. Oh, she's amazing in Sexy Beast.
Yeah, that's
you
amazing.
You're making
sexy
Amanda.
Thank you so much.
Just take all
but
that.
But yeah, if I do try and Google myself, which, you know, everybody does admit it, but then it's kind of pointless me doing it, because it's just all about her.
Mm. See, I don't do it anymore. I wonder, now listen, can
don't
I
you?
Slip
mm.
back into obscurity? I mean, you know, I'm not far off. I'm not saying it's a massive job. But
I'd rather
I
you didn't
wonder.
Do it in the next hour and 20 minutes.
I tell you what, well, let's see if we can create... It would be... Well, I suppose... I mean, yeah, how long would it take you to disappear? Because, of course, there's someone who is a performer and, you know, you kind of... Especially with Edinburgh, if you're doing, like, the Edinburgh Festival, it is all about, you know...
Trying to build up a little following.
As many people as possible must know about me. And I wonder how quickly you could...
Really quickly. Just miss one summer.
Yeah.
I mean, not you, obviously.
Well, you're
well established enough that you can miss two summers. It won't matter.
Well, no, I don't know. I think, yeah, it's a... But, yeah, I mean, in Edinburgh, and then you go, well, yeah, actually, you're... Presumably, if you just... Because, I mean, actually, I've had a few years off having the kids, and it does, you know, you sort of go, oh, it's quite nice, actually, that you don't get... You know, if you're not on television, you don't get abused as much, which is, you know...
I think it's either in you or it isn't in you, though, to be anonymous. I never forget wanting to be silent and mysterious when I was young. I talked for 14 hours in a row, non-stop, because I was out with this guy who I ended up going out with for a few years, actually, long before Sound of Time. And but I remember thinking, oh, I've got to just be really cool and not really chat. And I ended up just, I didn't stop talking until the next day. So it's not in my nature to wind my neck in. It just isn't.
No, it's always, it's a great thing about dating, isn't it? Where you sort of decide you're going to put on a different persona,
yeah.
And you go, right, yeah, tonight I'm going to be. Because I had a date with a guy who
What's
was.
What's that show? Tonight,
yeah,
Matthew. Tonight,
yeah.
Matthew.
Yeah, tonight,
I'm going to be.
I'm going to be an
mysterious.
Bookish enigma. But yeah, and I did. I mean, I did a lot of swatting up for this date with this guy who was, I felt, intellectually way out of my league. And then, of course, then we went on the date, and I was like, oh no, he's actually quite thick. He doesn't really. Oh, you know, not. Well, he wasn't thick, but he certainly wasn't.
He definitely
the intellectual
wasn't.
Colossus that I was expecting. And
were you disappointed,
just,
or did you just give,
no,
did it give you more confidence?
Yeah, relieved. Actually, I think it's.
You're not talking about your husband, are you?
Well, God love him.
are you?
That's yes. No.
Oh no! You basically just called your husband stupid.
No, it wasn't my husband. It wasn't my husband. But I was trying to think whether this would be flattering to say he's no. You know, my husband is an intellectual colossus. That's what I'm saying.
What does he do? He's a comedian. No, he is. He's very tall. All I know is he's so
comedian.
Tall.
I'm not going to say what his name is because I'm going to maintain an air of mystery. But that's it, because when I had children, and
his name's Mr. Porter,
Mr. him indoors, he shall not be named. But when I first had kids, I was then sort of starting to come back out onto the circuit, the comedy circuit, and doing interviews and stuff with like local newspapers to promote tours. And they always say, "Oh, and what's your, you know, how old are you?" They always want to know how old you are, because every local paper has to.
Do you lie?
No. I mean, I should have started lying about 20 years ago. But I didn't.
When you were a baby. Yeah. That's smooth. I want to come back.
But yeah, then they say, "Oh, what are the names of your children?" And it's like, oh, I don't know. Is that.
No, I don't think that's something that you should have to feel.
Too late, Amanda.
Oh, okay.
That ship has sailed now. They're out there in the public domain. But then I did think what I will do from now on is I will just give them different names every time. In the same way that I think what I'll do is, because I always give a different origin story, because the number one question from local newspapers is always, so how did you get into comedy? And when you have answered that sufficient number of times, you do just go,
it's
right,
time to start lying.
Let's just make up something interesting.
Did you gig when you were pregnant?
Oh, God, I loved it. It was the best thing in the entire world. Yeah.
And how long did you wait after you'd had the baby?
Not like a few weeks.
Planning the future here.
happy to share the tips. We might do this off air, but it was about... I did a benefit gig at the Bloomsbury Theatre in London when my daughter was about... I was going to say her name there. When Hepzibah was 7 weeks old. And that was kind of weird. I shouldn't have done it in hindsight.
Why?
Let's go there. My breasts were in agony on stage because I'd timed it wrong with the feed. And when you're breastfeeding, they get like, basically I had Russ Mayer style Zeppelin. Anyway, la la la.
Catherine Ryan did a gig when her baby, it was just about 3 weeks, we were at Latitude.
Yeah.
And she literally just took her off her chest, handed her to her father, and just popped on stage, did an amazing set, came off stage and strapped her back on again. It was fantastic.
See, that's going to bring us back to our list of the week, which is female superheroes. Anyone who has any sort of, I mean, that's heroic to me. That's a heroic act, because what does define heroism as well? What does make a sort of female we could do action heroes,
yeah,
superheroes, any kind of heroes,
yeah.
Catherine Ryan, there we go, that's my
She's
number
one. Okay. I've got no more Twitter followers since we've been on this
Since
have you lost
Twitter
any?
Followers?
No, I haven't lost it. I don't think so. God, what a horrible thought.
It's either.
No, I haven't lost any, but nor have I gained.
Yeah, well, I
early
think,
days.
Yeah, no one knows we're back from holidays yet. They're all still on holiday. All our listeners are probably taking a late summer break in.
Cheaper, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I like to think of our listeners.
Cheaper and empty.
Cheaper, empty, weather's still great.
Distinction. They're not on a cheap package holiday to Tenerife. They're off. They're still in their private. Aeroplane or whatever posh people have. There we go. Lovely. Should we have a record?
Yeah.
To give people time to follow Tanya Edwards.
Yeah.
Tanya.
At Tanya Edwards.
At Tanya Edwards. Go on.
Should we have another Beth Orton track?
Bit cheery. What have you got lined up?
We could play.
No, I like Beth Orton. I did choose it as the record of the week.
Well, this
for
is
good
it.
Good reason. I mean, I do love it, and I'm just being.
Okay. Don't need a reason, whenever or how far.
What about don't need a reason?
Don't need a reason. Okay, here it comes.
The Lucy Porter Show on FUBAR Radio.
Don't need a reason. I sort of remembered that as being a bit more cheery.
Well, I'm happy because something really exciting happened during that song.
Yes.
Thank you, Paul Clark, for becoming my newest Twitter follower. That is very, very kind of you.
Paul Clark, big friend of the show, it turns out.
Made my day.
He also suggested for our female superheroes that you've enjoyed, Xena Warrior Princess, which is a very good, again, maybe before your time, Tanya.
I've definitely heard of Xena Warrior Princess. I wasn't
Lawless.
Allowed to watch television, that's the thing.
Then you wouldn't have any. So. Yeah, actually, I did remember that about you. Yeah, no, Xena Warrior Princess was an amazingly sturdy-thighed,
yes.
Excellent. It was sort of Saturday lunchtime, I'm going for, sort of Saturday early evening series.
Early evening, I think.
Yeah, Lucy Lawless. A lot of men of my age. Paul, your new Twitter follower, probably a man in his late 30s, early 40s, I'd imagine. Or even older. I mean, God, there's nothing to... Or younger. I mean, who knows? But, yes, thank you, Paul Clark, for that. In fact, because that's of the kind of Buffy, the Vampire Slayer kind of era as well, who I think... a lot. In fact, I know my friend Jo, if she's listening, has basically been very keen on Buffy all her life. I mean, it's one of those things that will never leave her. I don't think that she's.
Is that still going?
No.
No. It had a good run though, didn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it went, but it would. I think it would have been. It started about what 15 years ago.
Yeah, let's say
something
that.
Like that. Yeah, that's. I did pluck that out of thin air, but it's probably right.
And it was all. And it was Sarah Michelle Gellar, and then the weird looking bloke that I never saw the appeal
from the coffee adverts.
Oh, Anthony Head. No, he was good. He was good. But the Spike, was it the young?
Oh yes.
Yeah, very odd. Very odd.
The gold blend guy, Anthony Head.
Yeah, he was the professor in it. Yeah.
Just you might as well be talking High German right now.
Oh, those were the days. Now, talking about public shaming, here is a story that caught my eye today. Scorned woman takes out giant roadside ad to expose love rat husband. Thousands of motorists saw a 15-foot by 10-foot sign which was put alongside the busy Sheffield Parkway in Yorkshire. And this woman, who I'm not going to name, actually, moving on from our previous conversation about not naming and shaming people, I think I'm not going to repeat the names in this story, but a woman, let's call her Helen, not her real name. She put a message saying, to my cheating husband, let's call him Dave. To my cheating husband, Dave. No, it's called Archimedes. Let's call him something a bit more interesting. Agamemnon. To my cheating husband, Agamemnon. You deserve each other. When you get home, I won't be there. Enjoy your drive to work. Bathsheba.
She has not lucked out, though. She's having to leave the marital home because her husband's boning someone else.
But it is a very old-fashioned kind of... You know, I think we were talking about public shaming being a recent phenomenon, and I just wanted to remind us that there have always been ways of exacting your revenge.
She does know this guy, doesn't she? It's a bit like a very mild... Mind you, look at revenge porn. That's when you know people, isn't it?
Wow, yes.
That's a horrible idea, too. This is a remarkable story because it says here that it only cost a few hundred quid to do that billboard. She obviously wasn't in Edinburgh during the festival, was she?
No, exactly. Exactly. It wasn't on the Cowgate in Edinburgh. But yeah, so there's the statement here. So the only spokesperson they could find was Mark from the advertising agency Kong Media, who sold
Mark not his real name.
Space. It actually is, and he said she paid hundreds of pounds for her exit sign, which you do know that isn't actually a huge amount of money. I mean, I could be.
Can you imagine if you didn't see it?
Yeah,
then it is all of that money wasted.
Instead of going around to her house, which is in the other direction.
Oh God, yeah, maybe he was off to have a tryst. Yeah. But yeah,
I would be embarrassed if I wouldn't want anyone to know. I would just want to leave quietly.
Well, and I think it's quite irresponsible of the advertising agency to take it on, really, because the guy from the advertising agency, his statement is entirely about sort of plugging his digital message board. He says she just wanted it on during rush hour. The Sheffield Parkway is always jammed as it's the main artery out of the city in the morning, and the client wanted it on while her ex-partner was driving to work. It's the most recognised billboard location in the city, so I wouldn't like to be the partner scorned by this. I think there'll be a few calls made this morning to a few...
Can you imagine if she just got it wrong? She just misread the signs.
Yeah. And then you've spent hundreds of pounds as well as humiliating, betraying the trust in your marriage. And but yeah, Mr. Catterall.
What do you feel about infidelity?
Let's deal with that in a second. Mr. Catterall said it's a professional approach to dumping someone, but we're happy to carry marriage proposals as well. It's just nice that you got the point. Now, I think infidelity. I think I've softened as I've got older in my approach. I had a dream last
week. Can I
just
say, imagine if you had proposed to someone and then straight afterwards that message came up yes. For 1 hour. Will you marry me for the next hour, you lying, cheating bastard?
I was going to say yes, but now I've seen these reports.
What can
message.
Happen?
I had a dream while I... the other morning, and I woke up and I told Justin about it immediately. And the dream was that my mum and I had gone to see the latest Andrew Lloyd Webber musical. And Andrew Lloyd Webber had been there, and we'd been to an after party.
A dirty dream.
It was a real, it was a proper full on.
With Andrew Lloyd
Webber. With Andrew. And luckily,
had sex with Andrew Lloyd Webber?
Yeah, I don't remember much of the deed, but I remember the thing I remember from my dream was I phoned up one of my friends and I said, oh my God, listen, I've just been unfaithful with Andrew Lloyd Webber, and I don't know what I'm going to do. And that was the point where I woke up. That was when the alarm went off.
Was it good having sex with Andrew Lloyd Webber?
I think it was in the dream. Yeah, it really was. I mean, I wasn't.
Do you have a thing for him in daytime?
I have never looked at him in a lustful fashion at all, Tanya. I never look at any man in a lustful fashion. I'm too tired. But certainly, it's never occurred. I mean, without in any way wishing to denigrate his sexual ability, I'm sure that he's as gifted a lover as he is a composer. And it was a really, it was that horrible, sickening feeling of just waking up and going, oh my God, I've just been unfaithful to Justin. And then...
Oh, no, you just gave his name away.
Oh,
Justin, not his real name.
Not his real name. And, and it was a really... It was such a horrible thing to wake up to. And
did he forgive you?
Well, he was a bit off, actually. I thought he would find it funny, but he was a little bit...
Have you ever had dreams that he's cheated on you?
In the very early days of our relationship, I did have one, yeah.
Can you forgive him after those dreams? I've had a couple of those dreams. I can't... If Sandra does something irritating in one of my dreams, I can't speak to him for the rest of the day, regardless.
I wonder if that... Because I had a friend who used to always dream that her partner was being unfaithful. And I was like, well, maybe this is your subconscious trying to tell you something, because it is your constant... It's probably a lack of trust issue or something.
Mm. It doesn't happen often enough. But he doesn't dream at all.
Doesn't he?
No, never.
He's too scared to tell.
He's had one dream once about falling into a giant tank of water and being eaten by an iguana, who I've always prided myself on that, definitely, that I'm an iguana. He was under a lot of pressure at the time. Tick tock, Sanjeev. But he just doesn't dream. Generally, he just doesn't dream. I dream frenetically.
I love a dream. I love to wake up. Normally, if it's not about having sex with Andrew Lloyd Webber, I love it if I've woken up in the morning and I still have that really vivid memory of what I've just woken up
for. Do you ever eat cheese just before you go to bed so that wilder things happen to you during your sleep?
I often do, for no reason whatsoever. Yeah, well, I've found red wine now is a dream. I think it's because I'm getting older and my system can't process it or something. But if ever I've drunk red wine recently, I've woken up with a vivid kind of dream.
You know what's happening there? Mm. Is that you're not drinking enough red wine. You need to have more, so it absolutely knocks you out.
Just wipes out any dream. Well, then all of life becomes a dream if you drink enough. That's that's my advert on behalf of the Alcohol Marketing Board. But no, what do you feel about infidelity then, since you're newly wed?
Oh, no, I definitely am anti it. Mind you, I think it's because I've got a lot of male friends, and I think the thing that separates my relationship with my husband, I can't get used to saying husband yet, that sounds very peculiar, the bloke I'm with, separates us from any other relationship I have, is part of that is our intimacy.
But is that, you know, is there such thing as an emotional affair? Does it have to be sexual?
I just think if you have sex as well, but I always get emotional when I sleep with people.
No.
I'm one of those...
I think that's not unusual.
I always think...
I think it's hormonal, isn't it? Because I think we give off a hormone that... It's the same as a bonding hormone.
Oxytocin. It's probably That's everything it. Always comes down to
it
oxytocin.
Does, doesn't it?
They always say, oh, it's oxytocin. Mm. Just coursing through your veins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I also think you can just resist, can't you? If you are tempted. I mean, I'm not suggesting I'm never going to be tempted. Sorry. Sanjeev, I hope you're on this thing. But I'm sure everyone gets tempted at some point in their lives. I haven't been thus far. But if I was ever tempted, then you just don't act on that impulse.
No. No. And I mean, luckily, I think... As you get older, you do just become less energetic.
Would you care?
I think, depending on circumstance, I think, when I was sort of younger, I would have said there is no way in any situation where anyone who I'm with has sex with someone else. That's it. It's over. That is it. Whereas now I sort of... And I'm not... I hope my husband's not listening to... Frankly, I think Paul Barker is the only person who is listening. So, Paul, for you, just so you know. But no, I mean, I'm not sanctioning infidelity, but I'm just saying that I think I have a more sympathetic approach.
It's Paul Clark. Paul Clark. We've got to get the name right. I don't want to offend him in any way in case
he
unfollows me.
It's the only Twitter follower we gained. And now we've lost him again. But yeah, I don't know. I think acting in haste, like this woman who put the billboard up, is a danger in any way. You know, it's the impulsive desire to be unfaithful, but then the impulsive desire to kind of to walk away from that, maybe just being a little bit more considered and reflective.
I'd cut Sandra's dick off if he ever cheats on me.
There you go. Time for a song.
Yeah. You can choose this one. So I've selected a couple of tracks that are kind of hero.
It's Paul. Paul Clark's on the phone, ladies and gentlemen. Right, we'll listen to the song and then I'll see what you want.
It's so they're but a hero related song. So you can either have or heroine if you like, if you want to.
Can we guess? Holding Out for a Hero by Bonnie Tyler.
That is one of the options.
Yeah,
and the other one is PJ Harvey, Sheila Nagig. So it's up to you which one.
Well, shall we be cool or shall we?
Or do you want the one that you really want?
PJ Harvey.
You want PJ Harvey. Okay,
go on then, PJ Harvey.
Porter Show on FUBAR Radio.
Oh, good. There we go. I was glad we went. I was really glad we went with PJ. I mean, I was singing Holding Out for a Hero the whole way through, but it turns out that's quite a good mashup to do. Try it yourselves at home. Bonnie Tyler meets PJ Harvey. It's very satisfying. Now, let's talk about... okay, let's choose.
Can we talk about vaping?
Yes,
because I'm desperately curious about this. Can I mention what's
going
on?
I'm just
going
to do something. I'm just going to.
Oh gosh, yes. It's now. This is where this is like the sort of speakeasy section of the show where Amanda's just opened her. We've ditched the PIMS, ladies and gentlemen, because we used to do PIMS hour for the second hour of the show for our new listener.
But then they didn't send us any.
And then they didn't send any, and then we thought we'll abandon it. And also, it's just not seasonally appropriate. And I am delighted to say that Amanda has brought in some other ready mixed. I've got a. What have I got? A vodka and cola.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a vodka and Coke too.
And I've got a Captain Morgan rum, dark rum with Coca-Cola.
Oh, which reminds me as well, I did a competition. One of the weeks when I was coming back from here, I left a can of Captain Morgan somewhere.
You did, didn't
and
you?
And I did and I tweeted a kind of, tell me where this is and you'll win a prize. And the poor man who won the prize, and I said, right, I'll send it to you. And this was some months ago. This was before our summer break. And then he nudged me recently and said, I've never got that prize. Did you send it to me? And I never did. And I must, so I'm going to sort that out this week. Because I'd left it at Harrow on the Hill station.
Oh, did you?
Just for those of you who are still desperately tuning in every week.
What was the prize?
I have no idea, but I'm going to think of something appropriate. I did get a brilliant Miss World board game from the charity shop.
Yes.
That I might, maybe that, or maybe something else. Anyway, I don't know. but yeah, so we're having our, and I was going to bring in, and I will do this for next week, and Tanya, you must come back so you can have it. I was going to make, I've got a new kind of eggnog. Well, it's not got eggs in it because I don't like eggs, so it's a nog. It's a hot nog, which is a sort of lovely.
And do you serve that alongside gin and tonics? Because that is really my tipple.
Okay, you can have a gin and tonic, and we'll have a hot nog. And I've got a rum pot. Which I'm thinking of doing, where you have to put the rum in and loads of fruit and everything.
Oh, like a punch.
Yeah, but it's like a sort of fermented. Anyway, I've also been making my own wine. This is all irrelevant.
We're only 8 weeks away from mulled wine. I actually can't wait.
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
Bring out the Christmas lights.
Oh God, I know. I love it. I absolutely love it. I don't mind. Don't mind any early Christmas things. But anyway, you wanted to talk about vaping.
Vaping, because you're vaping.
I have one. Yes.
Can I? Because it sounds dirty to want to go on someone's vape. But you don't feel bad about
this is
sharing
our initiation
facts, do you?
Ceremony.
How do you do it? Because I'm an excellent smoker. I'm an ex-smoker, but I've never lost the knack.
Press it and suck.
But it's a strange sort of liquid. It's kind of looks the liquid inside it looks as if an ashtray is filled up with water and has all gone that horrible sort of brown colour. Yep. And so I press this and I suck it.
Yep, there we go. This is good radio. This is a live first.
Oh.
Yeah, good sound.
No, it's
effect.
Nice.
It really
it's like
the first
a hookah.
Back at school, isn't it?
They're lovely.
Fruity. Anyway, that's Tanya off for the.
and they smell so nice.
Well, apparently.
And does it have nicotine in it?
It does. It does. It does.
It's very heavy. It's heavier than my phone.
It's reducing the harm of smoking, apparently.
By a considerable amount, isn't it?
I think it's actually
they
really
think
tasty.
So, but the jury's still out. And now they're saying that maybe the pro-smoking lobby have been kind of boosting the claims for how safe those things are just to encourage people to carry on.
Right.
Because they're so addictive, because they've still got nicotine in them, right?
They do. Some of them do, yeah.
But the thing is, you know the effects of smoking. So even if you don't know the effects of vaping yet, you certainly know the effects of smoking
are
very, very negative. Yes, so yes. It can't really be much worse than that.
Also, it's very addictive, nicotine. Sanjay's been chewing that 4 milligrams of gum for about 10 years.
Yeah,
yeah. He takes it out as he goes to sleep at night and he picks it up off the sideboard and pops it into his mouth in the morning.
I can see why you married him.
Yeah, yeah. I know, what a catch.
Nom, 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 nom. Health issues, there we go. It's like... seamless this. health issues. Do you want to talk about fluffy vagina blankets?
Yes. Okay. Let's.
What's this? Sorry.
The fluffy vagina blankets.
It's another scandal or something that.
It's about. It would sound a bit wrong. There you go.
Sounds 70s.
So the
pre-wax.
Yeah, basically, it is.
Just how we started talking about non-wax vagina.
We've talked about it's a fluffy blanket for the vagina rather than the vagina itself being a fluffy. I always think of my vagina as a fluffy blanket.
God.
But anyway, it's about, yes, we've talked about, sanitary products on this show because it feels like years of female comedians not being allowed to talk about sanitary products and periods. Let's start doing it again. The huge resurgence in reusable sanitary towels. But they're quite beautiful. That's what I was going to urge our listeners to go and have a look.
Well, I've read about these knickers. That someone, they think it's going to make...
Annabelle Croft?
Is that it? I don't know. Listen, it's so environmentally unfriendly being a female, full stop.
I know.
But the idea of some recyclable pair of pants, is that clean?
Yes.
Have you ever tried a moon cup?
I have. I've waxed lyrical. I've waxed
really?
And waned about my moon cup. God, they're amazing.
Do you know, someone recently has asked my friend to use a moon cup so that they can use her blood for an art piece.
Really?
She said yes.
Yeah.
I say no thanks. I know where my magic powers are. My magic powers are all for myself. No,
I know, that does smack of wanting to collect your bodily fluids for nefarious deeds rather than I would be worried.
So
about
you can dance around
rituals.
A fire at midnight.
They're just quite pretty. I just thought it might be quite worth people having a look. And it was just the cost. There was some debate. So there was an article about this in the, I think it was in the Daily Telegraph, and the Telegraph readers didn't take well to it. The comments were just quite interesting. I thought if you go and look it up on the Telegraph website, but people were absolutely disgusted. The readers of the Daily Telegraph were absolutely horrified at the idea of the sanitary products. But a very interesting debate started, which was actually how much does it cost to have periods? And actually not as much as you think.
I don't think it costs much. I just think it's bad for the environment in terms of all that waste. Mind you, look at all the toilet paper we're using. I get so anxious when I think about the environment. I feel sick.
I know. Well, and did you see the VW?
Complete disgrace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know how they found out? The scientists just couldn't understand how the air was still so polluted if they were telling the truth. That's how they got busted.
So the environmental...
They could see that there was something wrong, because if everyone was emitting as they were saying that they were emitting, there would be no way that the air could still be so polluted. So they just couldn't understand it.
Yeah.
And it turns out they've all... But if Volkswagen are doing it, it means loads of...
I know. Well, this is going to be a story that will run and run, because, it's only... So Volkswagen have been caught, and only in America as well, but of course they're saying it must be... a global phenomenon for them, and also for other companies.
Heads must be rolling at Volkswagen. Well, everyone must have known.
Yeah,
it's just so corrupt, isn't it? Everyone's so corrupt.
I know. Well, and the they're saying it's like the tobacco lobby in the 50s and 60s. It's that if big business will find a way to get away with as much as they can, and we need people. And the problem is all the people who are detecting this, they're the ones whose funding are being slashed. And
who's the person who's investigating the link between art and oil? Because they're saying that it's by funding loads and loads of art projects and museums, you're basically bribing artists to turn a blind eye to the absolute horrors that are happening with oil spills. I mean, look at the part of America that's still completely destroyed from that disaster a few years ago, all of those poor... Oh, it's so depressing. Do you drive?
I do.
What do you drive? Hopefully not a VW.
No, I really don't. And I just... I do take public transport wherever I can. And when I'm on tour, there's often a time where I'm sitting on a railway platform in the freezing cold going, wouldn't it have been better just to drive? I think I worry about it a lot.
How expensive are trains? I mean, I don't agree with anything Jeremy Corbyn says, as it happens, but I do totally believe in renationalising the railway.
So
and
you
I
do
think
agree with one thing.
Anything else. But I really believe in renationalising the railway.
Yeah, I mean, I do. It's the amount that it's also costing. The amount that pollution costs that you go, oh my gosh, it is an incredible drain on our resources. It's more, you know, it's worse than smoking. This is why vaping and taking the train are the way forward. I'm basically a model citizen.
Vaping, taking the train, and
moon cup.
Yeah. Do you know what? God, I am absolutely the finest human being.
Going to recycle our cans of Smirnoff afterwards.
I know. Well, actually, a can of Smirnoff is not the way to do it, is it? Really? Jeremy Corbyn, talking of whom? Now I sort of missed the initial horror at the lack of women in front bench roles, and then I think by the time I came to it, he'd actually appointed, I mean, he's got more women in his cabinet overall, but they're just not in particularly high profile roles. I'm guessing, Tanya Edwards, you're going to say you don't care about his cabinet anyway, but
no, I think it's really important to have someone in a high profile position. But I think that's just important if you want votes, and that's one thing that everyone's supposed to want.
And he could do with the...
So I think that that's just a political manoeuvre that he's done wrong, but I don't think it's the gravest
of his...
I just think he's made mistakes. I think it's really bad for the Labour Party.
It's... It has been...
He's been on state-sponsored television in Russia, unless that's a lie, but it's not.
Yeah,
I think if you believe in democracy, you can't do that.
Yeah.
Especially if you ever intend to lead. And I also don't think you can say publicly that you're sometimes in favour of people breaking the law if you want to be the leader of a party where ostensibly you might be prime minister, in which case you're suggesting that if your laws don't get passed, then people can just ignore them. So it's not very inclusive. I believe in democracy. I really believe in... And I think it only functions if you follow the rule of law, even if that stinks. I think it's an amazing backbencher, the kind of like one of those sort of... mind you, who was it that said the other day that no one would work with him at Haringey Council? They wouldn't even let him look after the allotments because he was so difficult. I just think it's bad news. I think it means it's going to be Conservatives back in next time.
Well, unless he...
Unless there's a serious and quick rejig.
Yeah, and I think that might well be what happens, is that we have a couple of years of that and then someone dashes to...
Do you think it can be recovered after a couple of years?
I think so, yeah. I think it's...
Also, no one's even doing... They've not even got cabinet responsibility. Is it Lord Falconer that's saying he doesn't agree with anything he's saying, but he is serving in the cabinet? Have I made that up?
Yeah, and... Lord Falconer also side... look at me with the...
Side Khan.
Thank you. Has just sort of savaged his... Well, it has, you know, his links to anti-Semitism, has said that there's questions to be answered. And, I mean, he is being attacked from within, from without.
But also, you're not supposed to take a position in the cabinet if you don't want to shut up. That's the whole point. You just don't get the... You're not allowed to take the position. You have to go and be on the back bench.
I know. Well, it is like all bets are off. Like, that absolutely, you know, it's chaotic in a sort of quite thrilling way. Mm. That there is all the normal rules of politics have been suspended. And he... I
was just so disappointed that he was so boring. I saw the Prime Minister's questions and I don't know who told him to do that. I know some people think that it was really well delivered, but for me it was just like when Ed Miliband was talking about, I was going through the park and I spoke to Harry and Harry said such and such.
But it was genuinely crowdsourced questions. He was so boring.
He had no charisma.
I know, but...
He makes me think of a boy that you fall mad in love with because he doesn't speak. He's the mystery guy.
Oh,
and then eventually he does speak and you're like, holy crap, everything I thought about them I just made up in my own head.
You're taking me back to that first date that we discussed earlier.
Yes,
I can say it was Jeremy Corbyn. All right. me and Diane Abbott, we were vying for position in Jeremy's trousers, but she was the one who won. I'm not bitter. I've taken out a billboard.
Apparently she went round to his wife's house and told her to get out of town. Now that... I do think it's
so EastEnders, isn't it?
I'm finding politics fascinating at the moment. I really am. Well, it's but because I thought if it is a sort of suspension of this kind of very dreary realpolitik kind of always making concessions and everybody's kind of treading the same ground, the same water.
Called politics.
It is called politics. It is, but it was. I thought, well, yeah, maybe this is a breath of fresh air, and then especially. You know, at the moment you just go, well, with George Osborne being in China, I mean, you talk about Corbyn and Russia, but you go, well, this, all of the deals that we're doing with Saudi Arabia, with China,
there's a big difference between doing economic deals, which every leader has to do with every country,
yeah,
and going on state-sponsored television to publicly denounce your allies.
Yeah.
Whether or not, whatever you think of them, that doesn't make any sense. But Anyway, it's all over. It's all over for him already before it's even begun.
I mean, at least the pig gate has drawn some of the attention away for a while. It will be interesting. Time will tell. In a few weeks' time, we'll be able to see whether, you know, pig gate or Corbyn has been more damaging to the state of British politics.
Do you know what? I woke up this morning and I'd forgotten all about the pig scandal. Mm. And when I tell you that I woke up the other day feeling absolutely sick as if I'd done something. Because I thought it would be so humiliating to have thousands and thousands of people calling you pig fucker. Can I say that on?
Yeah.
I just thought it would be. I felt.
Oh well, I feel for his kids. I always think, oh God, you know what? His poor children left alone in a pub somewhere, no doubt. You know, and they're kind of having to sort of read
with their
this
pork
about
scratchings.
Exactly. They're having to read this about.
I don't
their
think
dad
it matters if he did it. I just think the idea of not doing anything wrong ever, because you have this preconceived idea that one day you're going to reach the highest echelons of society, and it's just a different way of saying stuff when it's your ally. Because if you look at any of the old political cartoons from hundreds of years ago, way before Twitter and everything else, they were absolutely vicious.
Yes.
So, I mean, really, it's all good fun, isn't it? All high larks.
Well, I do think it, yeah. I mean, I think it will be forgotten, but it has been. I went for lunch with some friends yesterday, and one of them hadn't heard about it.
Hadn't heard?
No.
Where have
she's
been?
Not on Twitter, in her private and she's chat. Not, you know.
And doesn't watch telly or.
No, she's just.
She must be very happy.
Well, it is really. And I sort of felt, like you were saying, like I kind of felt really bad. Because she said, oh, what's this you're both talking about? And me and my other friend, we were like, oh, sort of, it is like robbing someone of their innocence and going, we're going to
totally
tell you this awful
like
thing. There is all conjecture, actually. We don't really know.
But
if
everyone
it's true,
does seem to have split into two people, the people that think he did it and they just don't care.
Well, he hasn't out and out denied it, has he?
Well, he's not ever going to respond to it, and he can't.
But
denial is itself a sign of weakness. This is what I was saying in my second blog of the week.
Okay, right.
Because you've heard, obviously, that Lyndon Johnson did the same thing.
No.
Oh, it's like an old political strategy so that the person has to come out and deny.
Yes, of course, yes. So he accused, he said the worst thing you could say, just tell them that he's shagged
so
a pig.
He cannot comment on it because he has to rise above it.
Yeah.
And even now, everybody is saying it's a load of old rubbish.
Did you like his...
Well, actually, no, they're not. Some people
I quite liked his joke about where he was addressing, I think, François Hollande. Had come over, which was like how nice for François Hollande as well.
You're taller than François Hollande.
Yeah.
He's really petite.
I know. I would tower over him both physically and morally. I suspect, but
and intellectually.
Talking.
I thought he was going to get locked up.
Hollande.
I'm thinking of the other one, aren't I? The one that went
Sarkozy.
Before. Sarkozy. Yeah. Anyway,
they're
sorry,
both very little.
But anyway, and, David Cameron, anyway, was addressing a group of people and he said, he made some joke about he'd gone to see the doctor about his back and his doctor had said, oh, well, you've got a line in front and have an injection. It's just a little prick and a stab in the back. And he says, well, that pretty much summed up my day. I thought that was quite good.
He made a joke about Nancy the rhino and the Prime Minister's questions, didn't he? He won't be making any jokes about animals this week, I'm sure.
I know, and the thing about Corbyn as well is that we know, you know, everybody's saying, oh, and what will it be like with the first time he sees him? And Corbyn, say what you like about him, but I have absolutely no doubt that he won't refer to it in any way, shape, or form.
No, everyone will rise above it because it would only make you look foolish.
Yeah. I know, I'm sorry we're talking about it, really. Let's move on. Let's have a record.
Okay, well, let's go back to what you were talking about at the top of this segment regarding the sanitary products. Bad Blood by Taylor Swift.
Oh, good.
Here we go.
The Lucy Porter Show on FUBAR Radio.
It's a good Taylor Swift song, that. Very good. And in fact, if we haven't mentioned it before on this programme, you should check out the video by Carrie Adloyd and Jenny Bead, which is they do a version of that, which is a kind of comment on luxury tax on sanitary protection. It makes a point. It's very funny. So, yeah, you should watch that. And speaking of music videos, I haven't seen this yet, but Amanda drew my attention to it, that Lady Gaga has released a video about sex assaults on university campuses to accompany her new single, which it's called Till It Happens To You and is accompanied by the hashtag Till It Happens To You for those who want to tweet about it. And she's dedicated the song. It shows harrowing scenes of women being attacked, including two girls being drugged and assaulted at a college party. And she's dedicated it to victims of sexual assault all over the world, saying, "We hope you feel our love and solidarity through the song and perhaps find some peace in knowing you're not alone through this film." And it's sort of quite brave because...
So it's like a Righteous Snuff movie.
It's kind of... Well, I wonder if, you know, it's... Yeah, you sort of... But need to see the video really to decide whether it's titillating or graphic. Or
also, you have to be in someone else's mind, because some of the things I think are absolutely repugnant, other people find a real turn on, don't they?
Oh God, I know. I mean, there are niche porn sites devoted to things that I'm sure we would find absolutely.
Everyone's watching porn. Do you porn?
I'm not.
I don't watch porn. I talked about this in my Edinburgh show.
Did you? And what did you say? And what reaction did you get?
People were absolutely open about the fact that they all watch pornography. The reason I even had a bid on it was that I had foot surgery. Mm-hmm. And when I went in to have my x-ray after that, I've got 3 titanium screws in my foot. Any foot fetishists out there, you can follow me at Twitter, mm-hmm. @TanyaTwitter. But I went in to have this x-ray on my foot and I couldn't find the x-ray department. And I stopped our hospital porter and I asked him for directions. And he looked up from his mobile and I saw that he was watching pornography on his mobile phone.
Yeah.
He didn't even in work, in a uniform. Yeah. Everyone's gone... My friend James says he doesn't trust people if they don't watch pornography.
Yeah, no, well, I mean...
I don't watch it. Sandra doesn't watch it. I've got to stop referencing him. You can send me 6 weeks, guys. I won't talk of it ever again.
And you will cut his dick off if he ever watches porn.
I don't care if he watches it. He just happens not to.
Yeah, I would. I mean, I don't have blanket ideological objections to it. It just doesn't see... It's just... It just wasn't freely available when I would have formed a habit of watching it, I think.
I did read Jenna Jameson's autobiography, co-written with absolutely brilliant writer Neil Strauss. I think he might have done slightly more than her share.
Neil Strauss, yes.
I absolutely worship him. I think he's the most amazing writer. I have had to read all sorts of nonsense because I like his writing so much. Mm. So I read The Game just because I like his writing, and I read Jenna Jameson's autobiography just because I like his writing, and obviously the book that got me into him in the first place, The Dirt. Not even into The Motley Crue, but what a funny book.
That is it again on my reading list because
it's one of the funniest books I've ever read.
I mean, it's kind of I feel Motley Crue, that sort of on tour experience, is very much what we're like in FUBAR. I must read the book just to try and
just to absolutely verify that.
Yeah, or to see what we could be doing better, really, in terms of our, I mean, we've got the vodka and Coke premixed cans.
I think we've got the wrong kind of Coke for a start, so that could be fixed.
Oh, but yeah, well, see, vintage porn. I worked on a show.
Vintage porn.
Ago,
how old do you like them?
The golden age. The golden age of porn, when it was all on film and it was sort of quite big budget and it was, you know, and it was the big size. It was the Ron Jeremy, Peter North or Peter West.
You're not talking about Dirty Grannies then, you're talking about high production values.
Yes, the sort of, the like, really weird, funny, surreal porn. And it was, that was really interesting because I didn't find it in any way... It was sort of quite softcore, I guess. I mean, like now it would be absolutely...
Well, it's all softcore, isn't it? Because legally they're not allowed to show an erect penis.
Okay. Well, yeah, are we still not allowed to show erect penises?
I think, actually, do you know what? I know this for a fact because before I got to MC that dominatrix gig, it was because I'd MC'd the magazine's 1 year birthday. And in fact, that was a porn magazine for women. And they sent me... loads of copies, and it was all flaccid penis until one magazine. They were very excited that it had an erection in it, but everyone in it was evidently gay, and the women involved in the various threesomes just looked pretty left out, to be honest. It was a very strange publication.
Well, every now and then they folded. Do attempt. There was one I remember. I mean, this was probably in the 90s, and it was called For Women. And accompanied with great fanfare of, finally, women have a magazine just for them that they can enjoy. And I don't think a single woman ended up going out and buying it.
No, I don't think so either. I think women are more likely to buy Playboy because it's got funny articles in it.
Yeah, oh God, I mean, I've got lots of collections of old Playboy articles from the 60s and 70s, and everybody wrote for Playboy.
Everybody. It was the thing to do. Have you read Neil Strauss, any of his
stuff? No, I haven't, and I really will
God,
now.
I'm really into him.
On your recommendation, as well as Elena thing.
She's, you know...
Properly good.
Well, she's a novelist. It's a very different thing.
Yeah.
They're very different styles, but I would highly recommend them both. I actually, every 6 months, Google Neil Strauss just to see if he's written anything recently.
I'll start with Motley Crue and then I'll work my way up.
Oh God,
to the
Dirt,
James
yeah. Read the Dirt, it's so funny.
Yeah. And what did you say when you were talking about porn in your Edinburgh show? But you weren't sort of anti it, you were just saying that I don't happen to watch it myself.
No, I was just interested to hear people's different opinions. I knew a porn star in France. He went out with a friend of mine and that all went really well until he took her dogging on a birthday.
She got
hepatitis, and
oh God.
And not on that particular occasion. I think at another party, but they. So I don't care. I just think it's strange that so many people are so open about committing such a significant amount of their day to watching strangers fucking when they. Sorry, excuse my language. When they could be learning Spanish.
Yeah,
which I started doing this morning.
I know. Well, I've got various apps on my phone for learning languages. Which
do you speak any?
No, I've got. I've done about level 3 in Spanish, so we can converse.
Next time I come, we can do some
and
Spanish.
And I've got Mandarin.
Really? You speak Mandarin?
Yeah, like 6 words about.
I can say konnichiwa in Japanese, and I speak French.
Yeah. Oh, you do, because you lived in France.
Yeah.
But I don't... I don't know, actually. Maybe I do have an ideological problem with it, actually. I've never really been forced to examine it. I've had friends who have worked in the sex industry in sort of various ways, and I've never, you know, it's just because they're so matter of fact about it, and you go, yeah, well, it's just a thing that, you know, it is so prevalent now.
It's not aspirational, though, is it?
I wouldn't say so. I mean, I think I've left it a bit late. If I'm complete, although there is a niche, places that I could go and have my.
I think it's pretty bleak.
Yeah, I mean, the nearest I come, so often I am in a hotel room late of an evening and I'm flicking through the channels and then I see Babe Station and those kind of women wiggling phones.
Now, that was an excellent joke. Did you see that joke by Mark Simmons?
No.
Mark Simmons, you can follow him, Mark Simmons Haha on Twitter, and he wrote an excellent joke, said... bet David Cameron was disappointed the first time he watched Babe Station.
No.
Boom!
It's the story that keeps on giving.
Very clever, Mark.
I'm doing the news quiz on Radio 4 tomorrow, and I'm absolutely dreading it because, of course, it's going to come up. And I'm like, tonight we've talked about it too much. I already feel like I'm exhausted. But it being Radio 4, we probably won't. You know, it'll be a more highbrow.
What are you trying to say?
Well, no, it won't be more highbrow. It will be.
She's saying that I won't be there.
It will be more vanilla, shall we say? But yeah, I will come and see your stuff about porn because I find it interesting. I'm all slightly. I have a slightly sort of prurient interest in it, but I'm not.
It was a very brief section. I was just very surprised at how many people are just. We are talking about people. Masturbating over watching other people physically having sex. I'm not suggesting that nothing should be titillating. I'm just saying that it seems a strange leap that within my adult life people have gone from sort of reading dirty magazines but discreetly openly having. Maybe also that it's because it's just a different format now, so you can physically see on the internet how many different types of fetish there are, whereas you wouldn't know how many people were interested in poo if it wasn't all
in the olden days
available
had
on
to
the internet.
Trial and error, wasn't it, really?
Yeah, or a little section of the video shop that you didn't go into, maybe. But yeah. Now we can see, can't we?
I know. Well, you just have to go down to Vauxhall and take your chances in the arches, see what you get. Probably the whole existence of the internet though is owed to porn, isn't it? I mean, I think. You know, any technology that we have basically has been enabled and facilitated by the existence of porn because people will always, you know, if there's some new platform for porn, people embrace it. And I think that is probably...
You really think that the internet is porn-led?
I think so. I mean, I think most... I haven't got the statistics to hand, but, I mean, a vast percentage of internet websites are porn.
I know it's the most popular thing on the internet, but surely the internet beat... Surely the internet, beat everything suddenly sounds like an innuendo, but what I mean is that surely the internet as a platform preceded porn. It wasn't motivated by porn.
No, it wasn't the first thing that they did on it. But I mean, it's like, I'm thinking back to things like the VHS and Betamax, this famous thing that it was VHS and Betamax were equally, in fact, Betamax was technically superior as a form of technology, but VHS was adopted by the porn industry, and so VHS was the one that triumphed in the end.
Isn't that amazing? Now that is interesting. That's much more interesting than anything I was discussing in my
show. You can have that for your porn segment.
So I might cut out the porn segment.
Well, now I feel bad because, you know, people are going to be listening going, oh, I'm going to see the porn girl talking about porn.
Oh, no, it was just a few minutes mostly about my foot surgery. Freiburg's disease.
Have you got any new followers since you started talking about your porn segment?
No.
Let's have a look.
But Lucy and I are about to get off with each other and live stream it on Twitter.
Oh, that was the thing. Now, this was a story that I was quite interested in. It wasn't a story, actually. It was just an opinion piece in The Guardian. And there was a...
Sorry, that's Paul Clark.
Hey, Paul.
We agree, Paul. We agree on Corbyn. Sorry, Lucy. Didn't mean to interrupt.
No, look, he hasn't copied me in. It's just
you want
Paul
you to find out.
It's Tanya and Paul in a room now. Okay, fine. Fine, you just carry on. There was an opinion piece that I thought was quite interesting about the fact that at New York Fashion Week, Cara Delevingne and her girlfriend St. Vincent were at all the shows, and they were sort of being affectionate and being a loving couple with each other. And a woman wrote in The Guardian saying, isn't it amazing? And again, similarly, in our lifetime, that this has happened, that it's now kind of okay for... just there's much more of an acceptance, a mainstream acceptance of lesbian couples without it necessarily being, or they're doing it to titillate men, or there's some sort of, you know, male gaze.
I love
gaze.
Cara Delevingne.
Pardon?
I love Cara Delevingne. I don't know why, but I just think she's got attitude, hasn't she? She's like Kate Moss.
Oh yeah, she's having a lot of fun and she doesn't care really about what anyone thinks of her. But she's more mouthy than Kate Moss, because Kate Moss, you know, has never really spoken up. But
well, Kate Moss managed to achieve what I always failed to achieve, the mystery woman.
Yeah, very
I
true.
Mean, not her only advantage, obviously. She has a few others over me also, I'm the first to admit.
I know, yeah. If I had known when we were both starting out in Croydon, me and Kate, in the 1980s, I should have basically taken a tip from her and not opened my mouth with my... Because they always say, oh, of course, Kate Moss never speaks because she's so ashamed of her Croydon accent.
No, what, rubbish.
Like, rubbish. Well, if it's something to be ashamed of, then, yeah, sorry, guilty as charged. But yeah, it's kind of, I do think we have kind of, because lesbianism was always the thing where, you know, Queen Victoria didn't believe it existed, and it was always like, yes, culturally kind of, in some ways more acceptable in that men...
Maybe that's just a fib, though. I don't believe it exists. What I do at night has no name. You know what I mean?
Well, Victoria, yeah.
Maybe people just like anonymity.
Apocryphal anyway.
Now we have to... We want everything to be open.
Yeah.
Are you into public displays of affection?
Not massively, no. No.
So what would you consider a not massive display? Like a little bit of hand-holding?
What we were talking about with Cara and St. Vincent, which is just sort of those, you know, not getting off with each other in the front row of the show, but just sort of... I would touch Justin's face. For example,
what, if you had a smear on it, or just generally,
yeah. When I say touch, I mean slap. when I say touch, it might be affectionate or it might be violent. You know, who knows? No, but I'm not mad about public displays of affection, but I probably would be more supportive of lesbian or gay couples displaying their affection as a kind of a rebuke to centuries of oppression.
I'm just not really into it. My my friend, he's going out with a new guy now, and his last partner, I mean, they played it so cool. You could have honestly not realised. I mean, he thought that you might not have realised it, because he always saw himself as like a straight gay guy, mm-hmm. if you see what I mean. But everyone else, they thought that they were a gay couple. But what I mean is that they never touched each other. And his new boyfriend likes pirouetting on the underground, mm-hmm. kissing him, holding his hand, sitting on his lap, like full on over the top.
And
it's
he
so
it? Is he
hilarious to see. Yeah, he loves him. But I just think it's amazing. Sanjiv doesn't... Oh, I've got to stop talking about him. I'm so sorry. But I never do anything in public.
No, well, now, you know, no public nudity, no watching of porn, no touching. You're
describing
basically a Victorian
like
marriage. This is
like a prude. Or maybe the lady doth protest too much,
well,
and it's
exactly.
all
exactly. Delightfully chaste in public, but in private.
Filthy. Absolutely filthy in private.
Filth. Good. Well, that's the way it should be. Do you have records?
Yeah. We'll have that Lady Gaga track, just so we can hear the lyrics, I guess.
This is the song that...
Till It Happens to You.
Till It Happens to You. Okay, here we go.
Show on FUBAR Radio.
I feel bad about sticking the sting on the end of that one. That was, yeah, it was beautiful. I hadn't heard it before. I'll go and look at the video, but I'm slightly worried about doing so because it might be quite a difficult watch. But anyway, we'll do that. Now, for our last bit of the show, I was going to kick off there. I just was looking at Twitter to see. God, I've got 500 new followers. That's amazing. How has that happened? How are you doing, Tanya?
Still on the one.
Still just poor.
Chattier than yours.
Yes. It was just a sad little thing that was tweeted by someone called Glen Coco. A group of 9-year-olds list the things they don't like about being a boy, and it really makes your heart.
What's not to like about being a boy? I'd love to be a boy with a big old penis swinging down between my legs.
You might not have a big old penis. You might have a. You might have one that doesn't work.
I've got huge feet.
I'd probably have a tiny bit. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It's not the size. Not being able to be a mother. Not supposed to cry. Not allowed to be a cheerleader.
Oh.
I mean, that's not one that I've ever, I've never actually thrown myself into that. But anyway.
I'm sure he will be a cheerleader. I can tell already. He's going to realise that dream. I've never wanted to be a cheerleader.
Christ. Supposed to like violence. They can't spell supposed, but anyway. Supposed to like violence. Supposed to play football. Boys smell bad. Having an automatic bad reputation and grow hair everywhere. Well, that does apply to some women as well. I'll just say that.
Especially as you get older.
Not going to say anything about that. It's just that it is a, yeah.
Do you have girls or boys?
I have a girl and a boy.
That's the best, isn't it?
It's being a mother of a boy is very hard because, of course, if you express any even sort of mildly feminist viewpoint, you do get people saying, oh, you know, I feel sorry for your son or your husband being a man-hating feminist.
A feminist is just someone that thinks that we should be equal and get equal pay and have equal rights and that someone else shouldn't be discussing whether or not they're allowed to attack us.
I'm a feminist, I'm a humanist, I'm a trapezist, I'm everything. I know it's a nonsense, but it is very, it's kind of challenging for me because I was one of three girls growing up and raising a boy. It does, presents a set of challenges. There was Matt Haig, the lovely writer, he was going to write a book about masculinity or mentioned this on Twitter and then was sort of attacked for it by people saying, do we really need to think about masculinity anymore? But it is, it's kind of challenging.
Why wouldn't you?
I know you think about masculinity, think about femininity, think about, all of those social constructs.
I don't understand why we think we're post-discussion either. Like, it's nice to write about anything that interests you. I wish that more things did interest me.
Yeah, well, I mean, now that you're into porn and
all the other things. Now that you've converted me.
All of the other things that we'll be doing. Well, in fact, that's what I can do. When after the show, I'll just find some
send me some filth.
Some websites that might interest you. Now, let's get to the nub of it. We've only got 10 minutes left, and I need to. Well, right. I need to talk to you about your life and what you're up to, all of that is.
Right.
And just a little
think of something quick. Something.
A little bit. Well, you don't need to be up to anything. You've just finished Edinburgh, but I just thought it's worth having a chat.
Of course. I'm sure I've got things to plug.
Well, I feel I should be giving you advice on your marriage, really, since you're a newlywed and I'm a veteran.
Go on then.
Well, it's gone very quickly for me. That's the one thing I would say is that it does speed up. I think time speeds up once you're married. Because, when I was younger, I think the longest relationship I ever had before I got married was like 2.5 years or something. And I thought, God, that's really long. That's really amazing. And now it's been, we've been married for 6 years together for God knows how long.
We've been together for 4.5 years.
Yeah.
His longest other relationship was 3 months.
Yeah, really? There we go.
Which has its advantages and its massive disadvantages. One of my friends is really benefiting from the fact that her husband is already divorced. From someone who, so he's not only been trained, but everything she does looks fantastic. They couldn't be happier.
Yeah, so there's no real bitterness in your husband's past, which is...
He hasn't... it's only me that's ever going to make him do something he doesn't actually necessarily want to do. I'm very laid back as well, but...
But you are the iguana of his nightmares.
I am the iguana, yeah.
No, it's... I was talking to, I was at a wedding, not yours, but someone else's.
Sorry, Lucy.
Sure it wasn't.
No, it was just a small do.
I wasn't there either.
No. Well, it's fine. I know where I stand. I've got a good bridesmaid. I had a frock ready. I had a tan. But I was talking to a couple, you know, because weddings and everyone starts talking about the marriage. I was talking to a couple who'd been married for, I think they'd had their golden wedding anniversary, so they were over the 50-year hump. And and I sort of said to, you know, I said, probably oh, you know, what advice have you got? And they, nothing forthcoming. I think it is, you know, it's one of those, it's not an exact science, is it, being married? I remember my mum terrifyingly saying to me, oh, well, yeah, you know, the first 10 years were quite hard, and then it was easy, and then, you know, and it's like, God, yeah, then you'll be thinking in terms of decades. You'll be going, yeah, well, the first decade, you know, is the...
I think it's all about temperature compatibility.
Yeah, that's a very good point, actually.
I just think that's all it is, because my parents, when they split up after 30 years together, when I saw my mother, the first thing she said was, well, the best thing about this new situation is that the house is lovely and warm.
Yeah.
And when I saw my father, he said, and the best thing about this new situation is that the heating bills are fractional. I thought they could have just saved themselves literally decades by realising that they were never the same temperature.
That's a very good heating compatibility. Also, being a morning and a night person. Mm. My mum and dad, very happy marriage, I think, but they've always struggled with the fact that my dad wakes with a song in his heart and indeed on his lips, and my mum is not a morning person at all, and that is difficult, whereas Justin and I are both slugabeds, which is fine by me. So
yeah, I'm not a morning person. Yeah. No one's ever accused me of that.
No, but then also I did live with someone, my other previous longest relationship, and he would stay up till ridiculous o'clock in the morning. We never went to bed together, and I think that is a very
bad... No, you have to go to bed together.
I think it's been proved. I think there is actual research to say you've got to go to bed at the same time, otherwise it's you're living a lie.
I do think that's frustrating, because I write really well at night, and I haven't written at night for 4 years.
Yeah.
No, because you went, it's so antisocial, isn't it? Oh, I've got an idea now. But
well, what you do is you go to bed, and then you get up a couple of hours later and do... I've started having two sleeps. So
really?
I do like a little sleep, and then I might get up and just do an hour of something if it's on my mind, and then go back to bed again.
That's
like they did in
idea.
The olden days, just have two little...
Because I do get inspiration in the middle of the night, and then you never remember it in the morning.
No.
It's like having a conversation when you're pissed that you think so fantastic. Mm. God, I was amusing. No, you definitely were.
No, the other thing is now you can record it on your phone and then be confronted with the evidence of how
God.
Unamusing you were the next day.
I wrote a sketch the other day, and I actually... recorded it and sent it to two people I respect.
Yeah. All in the middle of the night. All in the.
All after a few drinks. Oh God! Actually, it's just come back, and I'm in a cold sweat of horror.
I know. I mean, that is way beyond the drunken call to an ex or
genuinely
anything
shameful.
That
and
ever.
That's because I'm so boring now. I don't do anything outrageous. That's the most awful thing I've done. That's a lie. I'm really doing my good PR work for myself.
Again, the public persona, very different to the private Tanya that we all know and fear. So have you got any gigs coming up? Can I do...
Yes, let's definitely plug me.
Come on.
I'm at Banana Cabaret, your neck of the woods.
Oh, I love the Banana Cabaret.
I'm doing Your Screaming with Laughter, if anyone's got babies.
Oh, God,
yeah,
we should totally plug that. Yeah,
Tuesday,
Chiswick. It's a lunchtime gig for people with babies. I think we've mentioned it before, but it never hurts, does it?
I am doing my Edinburgh show on the 23rd of November, downstairs in the lounge at the Leicester Square Theatre.
Oh, that's a nice room.
I'd love it if everyone came along to that.
Yeah, I'll come.
Really?
Only if you do loads about porn, though.
I will that's do. I'll add in loads of porn. I'm going
to
start watching porn
special.
And it's just going to be half an hour. I'll have live video footage behind me. We'll discuss Lady Gaga. It'll be absolutely stunning.
Everyone can just put it on their phones. It's fine. Everyone just sit there.
If they get reception, I'll be very impressed.
Lovely, very lovely room. And I'll come and see you there. And also the room in Chiswick. Just, I don't know if you've been there recently.
No.
Oh, God, it's beautiful. They've done it up in a sort of lovely art deco. It's in the George IV pub near Turnham Green Station on Chiswick High Road.
I know. I used to work at the Discovery Channel.
I tell you, it's you want to go into that pub, the function room, they've made an absolutely beautiful. It's got sort of, this sort of slightly art deco feel to it. It's like stepping into another world, another era.
I'm looking forward to it.
And we'll be surrounded by screaming children. So good.
Is it 20 minutes, by the way?
Yeah.
Do a bit of admin.
Yeah, 20 minutes.
Behind this is what it's like in the green room, guys.
Yeah. I'll tell you how to get there on public transport as well.
Oh, amazing.
You don't spill any pollution into the atmosphere. That's us done for the week, isn't it? Amanda Redman, not that one.
Yeah, not that one, the other one. Yeah, well done. That was a good start, wasn't it?
I think we've got back into it now.
Yeah,
we?
We've broken the back of that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's been so long that I was like, I don't know if I can actually talk for 2 hours, but my God, we really did, didn't we?
We could have stretched to three.
But there's things to be done. In fact, I've started to go a bit sniffly. I've just developed a cold. Well, it's because you've given me a cold through
your vape. I don't have a cold.
Someone's given me something.
Sorry, I just sniffed into the mic to prove my point. Sorry, that's really great.
That was lovely.
Delicious. So, yeah, we'll be back next week. We'll probably talk more about porn and stuff, I'd imagine. We've got Wendy Wason on. She's quite filthy. Yeah, pretty filthy. There we go. Look, here we go. The Twitter's alight now. I better go and consult my
your follower.
Look, it's 800 new followers. It's amazing. It's the power of FUBAR, ladies and gentlemen. So have a lovely week, and we'll see you on Wednesday next for more of this.